Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, I want to welcome you to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Just a little information for everyone. I don't know if you know this or not, but we have a new moon coming out here. New moon in astrology the next 2 weeks. Here's what it's supposed to be about. Saturn and Venus direct. Who knows what that means? But here's the latest information I got from Carol Barbeau on this today. And it's actually good news for some of us. 2 weeks, energy increases, planets move forward, and the train today finally seems to have begun to move for many of us. All I want to say is hallelujah for that. This is a great show tonight. I mean, there are a lot of reasons that I love doing what I do. I mean, this is like what, my fourth show today. And it's amazing how fortunate I feel that radio has come into my direction. Had no idea this would ever be anything I do. But when I think about what happened today and how I started my day and what that looks like and how I'll start my day tomorrow, it comes from a very, very deep place of gratitude. But I will tell you that there have been some things that show up in my life, that show up in the subconscious or unconscious thing that we call dreams. And I've never really been able to understand them. I had an incredible dream the other night. I'm known as a daydreamer. I don't get very many night dreams. But the question becomes, what is this? What are our dreams about? And so I was so thrilled to be able to get Mark Bregman back and Crystal Lancaster back and to talk about dream work, how dreams lead us to love. You know what? I was so blown away by the last show I did with them that we're also going to be joined by two other incredible people. You'll hear from Susan and Bill throughout the show today. So we're going to talk about feelings versus emotions, what the blind spots are, what happens when we're waking up through dreaming. So many things we want to talk about. But most importantly, how does this all relate to our lives? Are there things that we really do see that help us? You know, are there things that, you know, we can be more aware of, which helps us understand the whole landscape of events in our lives that we may not otherwise pay any attention to? So today, I get to end my day today with a conversation with a couple of really, really cool people. And Mark, of course, is, you know, somebody that's been on the show before. Mark and Krista have been on the show before. We're going to tell you a little bit about them, but I'm going to do this show differently. There's so much that I can say about them and what they've created. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt. This is a show you're going to love. Mark, Krista, thank you for joining me here today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us back. We're delighted.
I want to take 3 steps back. And what I mean by that is I want to talk about what you guys have created. I want to talk about what you're doing, the work you're doing, where you're doing it, what the center is about, and what each of you have discovered about your life, vision, and mission. And I want to start by asking each of you to talk about what you've created and what is the most unique thing that you've discovered about yourselves from doing this work. Mark, would you start?
Well, I guess for me, like 40 years ago, I was just doing some astrology and doing some trying to understand Carl Jung and counseling and dabbling in dreams. And despite all the books out there, there really isn't really much that I could really understand what the process was. And I don't know, I was working several years, and I got a voice started to tell me what to say in session. Of course, I didn't understand, like, what the point was, and it didn't sound like a good idea either. It sounded like it was kind of confrontive and difficult, and that's not the way I understood dreams. But I did it, and I just said it because my show wasn't going anywhere, and that led me to develop this dream work that really came out of that support from an inside voice, and here we are today. In the process of developing this work and understanding what was being asked of me, it obviously all went back to me. I mean, everything that you do in life should go back to you and your own issues. So not only was I helping others to look at their dreams, but in doing that, I had to look at my own dreams and my own issues that traveled through to this point where Krista and I are together. And she was a client somewhere along the way, and we became colleagues, and now we're getting married in a month. And in the journey of our relationship, we've had to look at past lives that came up in dreams, which I never knew existed. When I started the work, I didn't understand there were such things or how they came up. And so we produced a book together called, it's our sixth book, or the sixth book that I've written, but this was in collaboration called Flesh Off the Bone, which has to do with our past lives and how we, through our dreams, found each other. In fact, we wouldn't be together except for the dreams that we had that brought us together and made us aware that we have a relationship from a long time ago. Now, all this sounds kind of corny and woo-woo-ish, but not my cup of tea. You know, I'm more traditional, and I've had to really adjust my understanding of what the world was all about, particularly the inner world, because dreams have to do with something that doesn't really exist here and yet should. It's almost like if we could live out our dreams here, which would mean we'd have to change a lot of what we do, then we would be fulfilling our calling. We're talking about in your show about living fully, and Carl Jung in the Red Book talks about living life. And what do you mean living life? Don't we all live life? Don't we all live fully? Well, not really. The dream would challenge us to say, well, you have to live through your soul, and to do that, you've got to go backwards. You've got to go back in time, apparently, as I've learned throughout my life, to find where things went wrong, where you lost yourself in a place of trauma. And that seems to be the path of reclamation of yourself. It's not easy to do that. And so in my work, and even though I've done a lot of work, it wasn't finished until Chris and I both had to face what happened in a past life. Isn't it enough to deal with this life? Why should we worry about yesterday's stuff? But it was important because the dream produced it. And I wouldn't have thought it was necessary or possible, but what do I know? And part of my journey of the 40 years has been constantly being shown by my dreams everything I thought was true wasn't, and I had to keep readjusting and learning about the reality that I was in was not the reality that existed. So in a nutshell, that's the best way I could answer it. It's a pretty big nutshell.
That's a pretty big nut. We're talking like a major walnut right there. But that's good. You know, I mean, I love what you said, Mark. I love you. You know, Krista, you must be the woo-woo side of this.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't know how to follow up from what Mark said, but what I was thinking of as he was talking about was when I arrived in Vermont, 20-odd years ago, I remember, like, I was thinking, what is my work and where are my people? And you know, it's funny because I found all these people, you know, and I found Mark, and then we found all these other people, and we created, you're asking what we created. Well,
yeah.
You know, all of the things that we created really answered those two questions I had in my late 20s when I was really kind of reeling and lost. But I was like, okay, I know I have some people somewhere, and I know there's something I'm supposed to be doing. Now, if you understand, I studied art history in college and, you know, went to English boarding school, and nothing had really prepared me. I hadn't even come to this country until I was, I don't know, I was 18 or so. And how it should be that I should end up in rural Vermont, in this, like, pokey town, excuse me, everybody from Morrisville, but pokey town of Morrisville, you know, 5 miles up the road from Mark. And then I, you know, walked into his office because I was really needing to figure out what the heck was going on in my life. And, you know, he will tell the story, which, please, this would be the woo-woo part of the thing. Our story is that when I walked into his office, he knew that he had known me and that we, you know, were something very, very special to each other. And so he had to be in the therapist role for, you know, quite some years as we then transitioned to becoming, you know, colleagues and bringing this work out into the world. But how would we have known that? We couldn't. But yet, it was the beginning of the formation of the organization of North of Eden, which has grown up around our really meeting in the spring of 1988. And the evolution of us coming into the world with this work and really letting people know that dreams are not random, that there's this incredible intentionality. And literally every single dream leads or would lead us, if we would listen, if we would get out of the way, to the most true part of ourselves. And, you know, it really, as we travel around now, is not really known. People know that dreams have this incredible, you know, information, but what we're hoping to do, and, you know, just to bring this out tonight, is that every single dream is connected, and there's this incredible consciousness that guides the process of our unfolding. And I have to say, Mark, you know, he was was a really open guy and listened to the guidance that came through him. And then as others came and learned the work through classes, you know, there's really a community of people who have delved really deeply and really can help people negotiate the territory of the dream, which is so, you know, mysterious and yet very mundane.
Well, you know, this, I love this. I love talking about this because, you know, this is, and Susan and Bill are also here, so I can't wait till we all chime in here for a minute. But, you know, I wonder what Carl Jung would say about our pop culture and what we've done to dreams in the 21st century. So here's what I'm talking about. What is it? 20 years ago, out comes a series called Nightmare on Elm Street. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this horror film that came out that put a whole different perspective on dreams. I mean, honestly, there are children that wouldn't go to bed at night because of these movies. And I think we've been so fascinated by dreams, not just dreams of our own, but the whole idea of the dream. So here's what I want to ask. What is it about dreams, first of all, that call us to know something? And then what is it that either pulls us forward to understand them or has us run in the other direction, never to face them? You want to take that, Mark?
That's a difficult thing to, you know, like, why do people do the dream work, you know, when... You know, I mean, initially, I think people do the dream work or do dream work because they're hoping that there's an answer. But why would they do this dream work where the first thing they get is how they're not right with themselves? And this is the thing about dreaming, that dreams aren't just going to give you an answer without you having to die to get the answer. In other words... And this is what the difficult thing about Carl Jung and the Red Book was, was really a treatise on the necessity of dying to self in order to reclaim the dream. So the idea that, well, okay, here I am, and all I have to do is just listen and just move along in some way is not true. What's really hard about dreams is the thing we don't, it's the thing that why people don't want to do it, or it's the thing why they do want to do it, because the soul is calling. It isn't about me deciding I want to grow spiritually or have a better life. It's about the soul in me, that wants to be heard. And I think some people are interested in this kind of dreaming because inside of us, there's a side of ourselves that wants to be free. And that is actually in juxtaposition to the ego self that wants to, it's like Krista said, get out of our own way. Well, the dream works at getting us out of our own way so that the inner soul can emerge. And that's it's a hard thing. It's just to be understood that if you want an answer, then the Carl Jung's Red Book type of dreams, which is what we're doing, is going to mean that the answer is deep in us. It's not going to come as advice. It's going to come as an emotional or a feeling experience. That's the thing, one of the things that I guess was on our talking points, was the idea of feelings versus emotion or feelings versus the mind. And feelings is a language that we say, well, we all have feelings, but actually when the dream produces feelings, they're often feelings that we have in a dream that we actually have never felt in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It could be feelings of excruciating love or excruciating pain. You were talking a minute ago about nightmares. Nightmares are simply a reflection of a trauma that may span lifetimes in the past. And the nightmare is demanding that these feelings be felt and explored. So actually, nightmares are great if the attitude is wanting to go underneath what we know about ourselves.
Well, I mean, don't you think the time has come? I mean, I started out with talking about astrology for a minute. I mean, if you go on and, you know, you listen to some of the conversations that people are having about 2012, you know, I don't know that there are many people out there that don't think that we are in some process of dying this year, that things are dying, and that people are being pulled forward to feel all sorts of things, things they've never felt before. I'm just not sure they know what to do with them. And, you know, I mean, this is the question that I put forth to you guys. Don't you think people are really ready to go down this pathway? Let me ask Susan this question. You know, Susan and Bill, thanks for joining us here today. I mean, here you guys are, and, you know, you are immersed in this work. Do you believe people are ready to go down the rabbit hole now and take a look at dreams in the way that, you know, that Krista and Mark have brought them to the forefront and that Jung has done?
You know, I don't know how to speak about it in general. What I know is that what it means to go down that or to be ready in that way is not what most people expect. So,
right.
Like when I came into the work, I mean, I just had a dream and decided to try this and ended up in some sessions with Krista and then later working with Mark. And, you know, like, so I had to feel feelings that I didn't really want to feel. Like, especially when I was working with Mark, I would have all these dreams about being with girls and, you know, I was kind of compulsive about my relationship with women. I would want to be in relationship with women in a certain way. I mean, I was this kind of big guy, sensitive, new age kind of guy. And I had a whole idea of what it meant to be in relationship with women. And so, like, when Mark says, like, you have to feel things that you don't expect, and he would tell me to be with this girl or to be this girl and feel what it's like to be this girl. And here I'm this, like, 6'5", 240-pound plumber at the time. And, you know, was I ready? I mean, on some level I was ready. On some other level I was ready to tell him to stick his girl up the butt. I mean, I really had a lot of reactions to feeling that kind of vulnerability. I wasn't used to that kind of I mean, I thought I was sensitive, but this was kind of a level of feeling and experience that was very different than what I thought I was ready for.
I want to, Sue, how about you?
You know, I like what Bill was saying about, you know, when I came into the work 17 years ago, you know, I was a poet, and I was like, well, you know, I just know there's like something up. I didn't really know what it was. And, you know, I was sort of dating somebody who was seeing Mark, and I was like, well, I'll give this a try. And, you know, I walked into Mark's office with a dream about being in a concentration camp and, being a little girl in a concentration camp. And, it was not what I was expecting. You know, I thought I was going to go in and get help with my creativity or get help with, like, learning how to be a better poet or something. You know, I was expecting, you know, I had an idea of what it would be. And, you know, it wasn't anything of what I thought of. You know, my dreams were like, well, you think it's about this, but it's actually, my dreams took me pretty quickly down into, like, trauma that I didn't even know from this lifetime, and then took me through the process of healing that trauma. I have an early childhood trauma with my brother, a sexual trauma that I didn't remember when I started this work. And then, you know, once I had worked through a lot of that, then they started introducing other, like, you know, what Mark was talking about, past life trauma. Again, I'm not a very woo-woo person, and I did not expect to go there either. So, but I've learned to trust the dream. I've learned to trust where my dreams take me and trust that they'll take me through whatever is presented from intense trauma this lifetime to facing into whatever my unconscious and my dreams and the archetypes feel like I can face into.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about a specific dream. I want to give our listeners an example. Krista, I wanted to ask you a question. I mean, it's really interesting. You know, here you are, you show up at this place. You know, you came from a background that maybe not you would have been able to look at your life and say, I'm going to end up here. I certainly for myself could never have predicted that I would be sitting here in 2012 talking to you four folks about mm-hmm. a topic like this. I could have never predicted it. My 25 years in corporate America as a senior executive and, you know, all the stuff I did in my doctoral program, no way could I have sat down and planned this. I actually dialed the wrong phone number. That's how I got on radio. So somewhere along the line, what I'm asking you is a question about this dream work. And what perhaps people should pay attention to, and how do they get to the help? Let's say that we're all ready to face this. I don't know about you guys, but I'm at a point in time in my life where I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know what? I just do not want to waste any more time on this planet. Mm-hmm. I really want to get to the bottom of my life or the top of my life, whatever that is. And that's probably because, you know, I came down with a chronic disease in 2004. It has stayed with me forever, and I'm just like saying, I'm done. So how do we, or where do we start, Krista? Where do we start when we're talking to our audience? Where do we start to give them a picture, to paint a picture for them on how they should approach their dreams and dream work and what they should be aware of?
Well, I think the first thing is to know that the dreams are this incredible source to turn to, and then to begin, you know, to begin to write them down. It sounds very basic, but a lot of people don't, you know, to begin to write down your dreams and to look at the thing in their dreams that is most scary. You know, the thing that we run from in our dreams is the thing that's probably calling to us. So I think the tendency for people when they have dreams with, you know, a man knocking at the door or, you know, a bear coming to the window or, you know, meeting a wizard on a precipice is to run away as fast as mm-hmm. possible. You know, what I would like your listeners to know is that what if you could turn to the thing that is scariest in your dream, and that being or presence or creature might have the answer to the next step. It's such a process, but where
yes.
you enter is where you enter. And, you know, if there was one thing that people did, you know, in the next week, would be that, you know, to face the fear. Because nothing that comes in our dreams, you know, it will destroy us. What destroys us is not listening to the scary moment or not heeding the call to turn and face ourselves. And the dreams will, you know, will keep popping up until, you know, maybe if you close the door and you say, I'm just really not going to listen, they'll fall back. But basically, you know, I do believe that everybody has the chance to really go beyond or below the ego that is really here adapting and surviving to the place inside ourselves that actually can, you know, getting back to the theme of the show, can really know love, to be loved and to love. And, you know, when I think of all the dreams that took me to the place that I am now, where we're traveling around and teaching
yep.
and doing workshops,
yep.
That, you know, that's been the underlying theme. You know, I've had to look at what is not me, the layers of myself, and do the difficult job of opening to, you know, hard feelings, you know, that we naturally want to push away, sorrow and terror and, you know, insecurity. But that through those gateways of feeling that the dreams will open us up to, we find the soul self, who most often shows up in dreams as the child. So that's another thing that, you know, your listeners can pay attention to. Where is the child in your dream? Is there a child? Is there a baby? Sometimes people dream about giving birth to babies. This is all information about your soul self. And I don't think we've mentioned that word yet, but the soul is what is at the heart of every dream. That is what wants to be revealed and known to us. And that sounds kind of esoteric, but it's actually, you know, the part of us that is whole and moves through time and space. And I really see that we have a chance in this life, looking at it in the big picture, to face into the ways that we're stuck, so that we get to become that soul self.
Yes, there's one thing about that I want to add. That when you have a dream about the child, you know, the first thing a person is going to say is, well, I was mean to the child, or I rescued the child, or I helped the child, or I loved the child, like I'm the child's mother, or I don't want to raise another kid. Well, actually, the point of having a child in your dream isn't to take care of it. It's to be the child. So if you have a dream where you actually are the child, or if you have a dream where you're actually an animal, like a bear or a lion, but particularly the child, then you're really arriving. I mean, most of us aren't going to have those dreams. Most of us who have dreams of children, we're taking care of them, or we find them in a dumpster or this or that. And then we're like, oh, that's pretty good. I'm taking care of the kid. Like one of Bill's first dreams was he was rescuing a child from under the water. Well, children breathe water. In fact, we have to learn to breathe water in our dream. But children breathe water. And so he's thinking he's rescuing the child from the water, when really the child is living in the water. I mean, breathing water has to do with being in a higher state of consciousness rather than the mind. So, you know, our arrogance precedes the capacity to become, that's why dying to self, you know, our egos, but we're the adult, we know better, but actually the child knows better. Because, and that's hard to break that. So when you become the child in your stream, and you're vulnerable in the way that I think Krista mentioned, which your child is so open to every feeling, and in fact carries all the memories of every life, because it's the part of the self that remembers every life, having that manifest in the psyche is actually the reward, or it's actually one of the goals of dream work, And not only do you start having dreams like that, you're living life. You don't have the dream unless you're living it. So if you live the child, you're feeling this incredible awareness of love, and yeah, you go through all this pain to get to the child. Once you're the child is the one that has the connection with the divine.
Well, you know, does this really talk back to, and I just want to let everybody know that, you know, for those of you out there that are listening to the show, Mark Bregman, Crystal Lancaster joining us here today, you know, how dreams lead us to love. And before we go on, before I have, you know, we go to the sort of the next segment on this, I would like everyone, Krista, to find out more about you, more about the center. What is the best way for people to do that?
We have a wonderful website, which is northofeden.com. So it's north, like the direction, O-F-E-D-E-N, northofeden.com. And all our retreats and workshops that we offer at our home retreat in Vermont, and we were just in Seattle, we were in Oregon at Brighton Bush, we'll be up at Hollyhock in Canada in the fall, and we'll be back at Esalen in California. They're all on our website. So we're finding that people are coming to those retreats and having amazing experiences. We also have a program called the Submit a Dream program. You can go on the website and send in a dream, and one of our trained analysts will respond to you personally and give you a sense of how we work with dreams. And you know, it's a wonderful way to get an idea of how this work would work for you. There's also an online journal on our website, and a wealth of information. Our books are all available on the website. You can kind of go in there and spend days there, and you can meet all the people who do this dream work. And we offer one-on-one sessions to people all over the country and the world, and the list of people and their faces and their stories are also on the website. So anybody who's listening and thinks, wow, I really am curious about this, yeah, I'd suggest going to the website and starting there.
I love it.
Of course, we have a retreat center on a mountain there in Norris Mountain. And we're having one in about 2 weeks. So we have our own center, as well as Krista says, we go all over the world. We also have online classes. And Krista, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, we have a center, and again, all these classes are listed under the Center for Archetypal Dreamwork on our website. So people come in with the miracle of technology through WebEx, and we teach the astrological component of this work, and we teach the mystery of the dream, and Mark does a great class about called Carl and Me, about he sort of riffs off the Red Book and kind of really makes Jung's Red Book become accessible in a way that without diluting it, which is kind of an amazing feat. And so yeah, there's classes you can come and you can study to be a student of this work, or you can come and just sort of enjoy learning about what this work really is, because there's a lot of theory and there's a lot of mythology and depth.
Right. I also want to add, as you mentioned, Krista, there is one-on-one work, but the retreats aren't one-on-one. It's really a group process whereby the group actually plays different roles of a person's dream. You want to comment on that one, too?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty cool. The groups at our retreat center, for example, are about between 10 and 12 participants, and within that small group, each dreamer gets to have their time when a cluster of their dreams is worked and enacted, and everybody in the group can jump in and play different parts of the dream. So it's sort of an amazing thing where you enter into the unconscious of each dreamer, and the levels of feeling and the deeper meanings of the dream emerge. And so even if it's not your cluster of dreams, things will come up for you as a participant. So it's a really rich and amazing voyage. It's really like you get on the boat on Monday, and at the end of the week, you know, not only do you know yourself better, but you've kind of grown into this intimacy with the other folks. And because, as you know, as everyone who's listening knows, your dreams are not sense, you know, they are not edited. They usually deal with, you know, everything, sex and money and relationship and the wicked witch and the, you know, the charming, handsome prince. So, you know, there's everything in there. And it's just an incredible way of also dispelling the shame that often we have about parts of ourselves. And when you spend a week in these groups together working at that level, you begin to realize how your failings are everyone's failings, and the gift of the dream is open to everyone.
You know, I love, love, love what you all have created. I mean, since our last conversation together, and, you know, there are a couple of questions that seem to come up. I mean, we're talking about feelings and feelings, you know, as the portal to the soul. But one of the things that I really do want to talk about in this show is trauma and dreams. And the reason I want to talk about this a little bit is because, you know, I have, in the business I'm in, I get to talk to a lot of listeners, and I am so stunned by the level of trauma that is happening right now in people's lives, or that have been happening, and folks are finally getting around to feeling the loss of so many things and not quite sure what to do with it. Everything from job loss to the rise in abuse in relationships, to dysfunctions that go far beyond anything that we can cover in this show. But I wanted to ask a question about trauma and dreams. Some people experience trauma. As a matter of fact, I have someone I know and doesn't even talk about feelings. And I want to get a sense on how this relates. What is the relationship of trauma to dreams? And what if people, quote, don't dream?
First of all, the trauma part, I'll answer it. And Krista, you can talk about the idea of not dreaming. But just the thing is, what is a trauma? Well, trauma is simply something terrible, and there's repressed feelings and repressed memory that, because of repression, takes away from some of the self that is the core. So in a way, our reaction to trauma is we become numb, or we disassociate, or we have dreams where we're flying around, or dreams where we're just in some emotional reaction in various ways. We might not even think we are, but the dream shows that a lot of our behavior is compulsive. So basically, the dream has us. We're a captive audience. And when we're ready and willing, and some people, even if we're not, will have what they call a nightmare, which isn't really a nightmare. It's what Carl Jung calls the descent into the place where we had those feelings. I mean, really what trauma is, isn't just images. It's the feeling that happened in the moment that no help came. And oftentimes, as you're saying, we replay that trauma in this life, and the same pattern keeps coming around over and over again. And even if it's not happening, we project the same feelings onto things in our lives. And so we could be terrified and not know why. Everything's going great. Or we, for some reason, we choose a person to be with, or the life that we seem to be living that we're not in control of, and it keeps happening over and over and over again. It's because we keep living out traumas of the past. Or we have a good life, but we're unsatisfied, and we don't feel evolved, the passion or libido or life force or joy in the way that we know that we could. So the dream wants to plunge a knife into our being and have us feel things. And people are so, if you're unconscious of it, you go like, oh my God, I had a nightmare and I felt these terrible feelings. And we're saying, yes, they're terrible, but they're a way that the psyche is trying to draw you into feeling them so that you can be healed. Mm-hmm. In other words, when you had the trauma, nobody helped you. But in the dream world, when you explore that trauma, there is divine presence. That in the moment of the worst moment, there's love. And becoming aware of that and becoming healed in that moment is one of the most important parts of reclaiming the soul.
So I want to, I want to hear from Susan and Bill on this. You know, what parts of your dreams showed up to help you move beyond? Or maybe the question, I guess, is, you know, how did you learn to express your feelings? And to what end did that help you move forward?
Well, you know, for me, like I do have trauma from a childhood.
Mm-hmm.
From my childhood with my oldest brother, where... you know, I grew up in a family where my parents were really not present, and I had a very jealous and competitive mother. And what I turned to is I turned to my brothers, and I'm the youngest, and I turned to my oldest brother, like, in this moment of, like, just really needing, like, in my great, like, in a little girl need. And it was in that moment that my brother, you know, without having any direction from my parents either, but he stepped over a line with me and a violation occurred. So for me, my trauma was like at this most, you know, at a very deep, vulnerable moment. So, you know, and then I repressed it. I didn't remember it. So when the dreams brought me back, the dreams took a couple years for me to come back to remembering what had happened, you know, and for me it was important to go through that, because what I was doing then in my adult life was every relationship I was getting into, I was projecting my brother onto every person who wanted to love me, especially the man I loved. And, you know, my partner Bill, you know, and we got together six or seven years ago now, like we went from being really close friends to being lovers, and he almost immediately became my brother. And, you know, cause it's for me, like that's like the most, it was, you know, it's the, my trauma is in that most intimate moment. So the dreams like helped me to go through some of the anger that came up around it, helped me go through to reclaim also to begin to reclaim my own sensuality around it, because I think I was very sensual with my brother. Little kids are very sensual, and I was a very sensual little girl. And I think when I sort of left myself back then when I was, you know, 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the dreams have sort of like taken me back to being the six-year-old so that I can reclaim not just the feelings around the trauma, but also like the joy of being that little girl again and the part of me that can begin to trust intimacy with a partner. So it's very practical in that way. You know, I was married for 10 years and I really, you know, my part of that marriage was he was my brother the entire time, and I could never see past that.
Uh-huh.
So that marriage never really had a chance until the dreams took me down, and by then it was too late.
Krista, I wanted to ask you a question as well about this idea of feelings and emotions. And I want our listeners to get a sense what the differences are. Let me just give you a specific example. You know, I recently have had the experience of helping a very dear friend of mine. And, you know, sometimes, especially after trauma, people have a very, very difficult time getting to feel what actually happened to them. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's possible that you shut down so much that what you end up suffering from or have is a psychotic break. You know, that's the way to get away from it. If you're so far pulling away from that thing that scares you the most, can dreams help? And is it more difficult for people that experience trauma to actually really dream, or do they dream more?
Well, I think the biggest misconception is that trauma can't be healed, or but we actually see that trauma is this incredible portal to the soul. So most people at some point either, as Sue was describing, find that they, their trauma comes through in their dreams, and the dreams will take you through into the feelings places step by step. So this is something really important to understand, is that it's not like you're thrown over the edge and, your defenses are pulled and, you would have a psychotic break. That's the great thing about the dreams, is they happen in a way that's perfectly, gently prescribed for each person. They're sort of like medicine for your soul. And so but sometimes people say, well, it seems like it takes a while to do this dream work. And I say, well, how many lifetimes have you been carrying this trauma? Or,
right,
with the severity of, as you say, many people's trauma, you wouldn't want to yank, the ego's defenses away. So the dream is just so wise in that they bring the archetypes, the divine brings the peace that you need at the time that you can handle it. And then if there's something challenging to be looked at, then there will be a dream where bearers of love and joy and grace and gifts come, so that you get the support to do the next hard piece of work. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I think getting back to feelings, like the feelings, the dreams open you up to, say, a state of pure loss or pure anger that is, some part of your passionate self that you left behind, or, incredible vulnerability. But what covered up those feelings, perhaps, were what we call emotions or reactive emotions, something like some sort of knee-jerk cover to the real feelings, which might look like, for some people, it might be judgment or rage or pride or feeling good, all these different ways, the sort of reactive states that don't actually move, that just sort of keep you in a closed loop.
Yeah.
They often want to be feelings. They often pretend to be feelings. And that's what dreams are so amazing, because they'll show you, like, well, no, this is really a cover for a deeper feeling, and this is not really a feeling, even though it has been helpful for the person. Like, some emotions actually feel good, and they even feel like love. But then they're really, when the real feeling comes up and you can compare them, the dreamer goes, oh, my God, that's not it at all. So we have to, it's hard to, like Chris is, talking about this idea that really part of what, also in one of your talking points, is the blind spot. One of the blind spots is what we think is a feeling is often an emotion.
Right.
And the only way you get to know that is the dream giving you two examples of one's a feeling, one's an emotion in the same dream or in two dreams, and suddenly you realize, oh, I've been feeling this all my life thinking it was a feeling, but really it's an emotion that keeps me from my real feeling, which therefore keeps me away from my soul. Because feelings always relate to soul. Emotions always relate to not the soul.
So let me ask you, let's get very specific, and we only have a few minutes left. People that feel betrayed, is that a feeling?
Well, again, that could be a feeling or it could be an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so only the dream knows for sure. That's the thing.
That's
I would hate to be a psychologist and answer that question for anyone. And yet the dream so wonderfully articulates what is what. So anything could be an emotion or a feeling. What we call love could be an emotion or a feeling. What we call passion could be emotion or a feeling. It could be anything because our orientation is ours alone, and only the dream can so particularly talk to you with your particular blind spot and clear that up. And also feelings, as soon as you feel one feeling, then other feelings open up, and it's like the ocean coming in, whereas emotions, you get caught in a pattern of emotions, like Krista was saying, where they're redundant and they spin around, and they often happen in relationships or jobs. Like, I've been here before. I always end up feeling betrayed every, almost like every 3.5 years, I get to this place. And so that probably is not a feeling. It probably is a patterned emotion that we're like a mice on a wheel.
Yeah, we all know it. I mean, it's interesting to see the patterns that do show up in our lives, right? It's so funny we are talking about this. I mean, I could think of two examples. One in particular that showed up in my dreams early on as a child. It started very, very young. And I, you know, even though there was a real action of betrayal, there was a dream that I had about it as a 7-year-old. And it's very interesting to see how the pattern does continue. For me, you know, it was this idea of being lied to, you know, at a very young age. And it followed me throughout my life until finally the ultimate lie was, you know, in a company I'd worked for 25 years. I went on, though, and actually I went on because of a dream, to study the consequences of broken promises. I spent 8 years studying them. And what's so interesting about what we're talking about, it was such an honestly, I would have never done this again, because I got to feel during that process, both alive and awake and in dreams, some of the sadness of multiple lifetimes around this. And it's interesting because, there's so much I still don't understand about it. Of course, that's why I'm speaking with you guys. But I think that's the key for people. You know, there is so much information, knowledge, and freedom at getting to the depth and the level that you all are talking about and that you do in your work. It really is profound work, and I want to thank you all for joining me here tonight and doing what you do.
Thank you.
I would love to have you give out that information, Krista, if you would, again, about the website. Let
sure.
people again
Our
know
website
about your
is North of Eden, all one word, northofeden.com. And send in a dream. Send your dream in, and one of us will respond and give you a real sense of that dream.
I love it. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. Thank you guys for joining me here tonight again. And boy, just keep doing what you're doing. You're so needed in this world.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate your having us on the show.
Anytime.
And I want to thank all of you for tuning us in, turning us on. You're going to have to go to the website. Please go do that. There's lots of information there. You're going to see why this work is not only so profound, but, you know, why this work truly sets people free. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Pat Show. For more information about us, go to drpatlive.com, or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Soapbox is way too high overgrown. You can barely see the ground or touch the sky. Your high horse is taking off and left to you, nowhere to be found. Better off dead, or so you said, but don't worry, we all fall down somehow.
Oh, someday, not somehow, not me.